Good evening. This is Josh Gillespie, and you are listening to Gillespie on FTR Radio. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in for another episode tonight. We're going to have a good one. We're going to have a good long conversation with Mark Warner, who is an integral member of the Gillespie team. He has spent the last few days out in Washington, D.C., attending BlogCon and representing Hoosier Access at BlogCon, as well as at the 9/12 March in Washington, sponsored by FreedomWorks. He's going to give us a real exciting report. Hoosier Access was well represented out there with Mark and April Gregory and Emily Borkholder, who you will know as Hostage Hoosier, on who blogs on Hoosier Access. That's also her Twitter name. And so we're going to have a really good program tonight. But I want to start off by talking about Professor Goolsby. Who is Professor Goolsby? Well, he's coming to the rescue, and certainly that's what the Obama administration would have us feel after appointing University of Chicago professor Austin Goolsby to be chairman of the White House Council on Economic Advisors. Professor Goolsby will replace Professor Christina 8% Romer, who left with her tail between her legs after the failure of her highly touted stimulus plan. And yes, I too was shocked to see yet another Chicago crony added to the administration. It's as if there's only one city in all of America. Upon hearing this news, I wasn't sure what was more surprising, President Obama named yet another professor with zero private sector experience to this vitally important position, or that we almost immediately heard the declaration of the need of another $50 billion in stimulus spending. Seriously, can you believe this? Another $50 billion on top of the $787 billion failed stimulus from last year. Because when you first don't succeed, you know, spend and spend again. Friends, I'm certainly not biased against college professors. As a proud Purdue grad and husband of a Princeton grad, education is something my wife and I take very seriously in the Gillespie home. Like most parents, we have dreams for our children, which include the hope that they will seek whatever higher education might be required for them to achieve their own career goals. My intent is not to belittle either those who dedicate themselves to teaching others or the very idea of higher education. But one idea that I will belittle is the concept that yet another far-left college professor whose entire life has been spent on a college campus without spending a single day observing whether his theories have any practical application will be the next one to spend us into prosperity. This administration would have us believe that merely replacing one academic with another who has the exact same liberal views as his predecessor is the solution for the very same problem that Obama himself has worsened. I'm curious as to how much Goolsby's views differ from the far-left stances, which have become synonymous with this administration. At first glance, we might feel slightly more comfortable knowing that he taught at the University of Chicago, an institution made famous by the late Dr. Milton Friedman, as well as a number of other preeminent economists who research and teach from the Austrian School of Economics. Sadly, we should take no comfort from the fact that Professor Goolsby taught at the University of Chicago as he actually teaches in the business school and is not a member of its esteemed economics department. Goolsby has also spent his academic career arguing that cutting taxes doesn't increase tax revenue, despite the remarkable amount of evidence we have to the contrary, all the way back to the Democratic administration of President John F. Kennedy. This tells me that Professor Goolsby, in stark contrast with accepted academic practice, actually begins his inquiries with the desired outcome in mind, and then searches for snippets of data that might fit his own narrative. How convenient. He was also doing leading work on the internet when e-commerce was still in its infancy, and wrote a leading paper on taxes and the web. One would be forgiven for wondering when we'll see the first national internet sales tax implemented. There's a famous line from Albert Einstein that says, "The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results." That being the case, I'm forced to wonder who exactly is insane, according to the time-tested definition. Is it a president who scorns the private sector that he successfully avoided his entire life? Is it the latest in the line of liberal professors whose theories have never gained traction beyond a legion of Marxist intellectuals? Or happens to millions of Americans who believe that intentions equal results, and Congress can grant prosperity by fiat combined with lavish and complex 2,000-page bills twice a year? Regardless, as we've discussed in previous episodes of Gillespie, as well as over at joshgillespie.net and on HoosierAccess.com, we conservatives know the way to turn this bloated ship around. And while the White House dispatches yet another liberal academic in a vain attempt to transform unproven theories into a magical recovery, we can point to the lessons of history as our evidence that conservative principles are truly the only proven way to fix this mess. Fact versus theory. Proven results versus overheated and hollow rhetoric. Seems like we're back to contemplating the failed theory of liberalism with a proven success that is conservatism. I can only pray that perhaps we've reached the tipping point in proving that liberalism is, in fact, a little more than a tragic failure. I can tell you one thing, 2012 can't get here soon enough. But actually, 2010 can't get here soon enough. I was attending a couple town halls this weekend that was put on by my congressman. And the one thing that really kind of stuck out to me was this staggering amount of taxes that are going to go up. One with the passage of the health care bill. And he went year by year implement of the from this year until 2018 of all the taxes that are going to go up. Some more than once in the next 10 years, including the tax on medical aids, you know, for people who need artificial limbs or wheelchairs or anything like that. The taxes on those are going to go up twice in the course of paying off this enormous healthcare bill. And the one thing that, when we talk about programs that the government has introduced, he talked about how when the United States government came to Indiana and said, "We need you to accept Medicaid." And he was in the state Senate at the time, and he said no. You know, he was trying to convince the administration that no, Indiana did not need to go on Medicaid. In fact, it would increase the cost 10 times more than the $2.5 billion that they were going to promise Indiana in infrastructure funds, that they promised that they would take away from Indiana if they didn't take Medicaid. And last year, it cost well over $200 billion just for Indiana in Medicare costs. This is what happens with liberal administrations. And I want people to understand, I don't think this can be said enough, that we have a socialist in the office. We have a commander-in-chief who feels that spending is the only way to bring us out of our problems, our deep recessions, our deep economic crises. And I tell you, the people who are listening here, when you're running your home, since when has spending actually brought you more money? I don't know about you, but I live on a very tight budget. And by spending more money, I'm not seeing more money come in. Why? Well, maybe it's because I don't have, you know, 300 million Americans from which to tax. But then again, we have to go to other countries to also get that money to which to spend. You know, we can't stand idly by and let this happen. And we're not. We're seeing tea parties. We're seeing the 9/12 march, which we'll be talking to Mark about later. People are upset. Now, people at these town halls, they're upset. They're upset not with Democrats. They're not upset with just President Obama. They're upset with American government, with Congress, and with the president in general. Everybody, regardless of what party they belong to. And they have every single right to be. But the one thing that I admired the congressman over, my congressman, was that he said that if the Republicans take over the House in 2010, which, frankly, I think we can all agree that November 2010 can't come fast enough, but that if the Republican leadership in 2011 in the House does not act as they should, he will call for their resignations, because we are in a crisis here in America, and we need our Congress to act on slashing budgets, cutting spending. There should be nothing left that should be left untouched. Agencies, they need to be slashed. The bureaucracies need to be slashed. And it is my hope that with the wisdom that came from my congressman, that we'll see that in our new leadership. This president may have stimulus packages he wants to pass. But, friends, I hope we have leadership in the future who will put their foot down and say no. It's not spending that we need. It's cutting that we need. And with that, I encourage you to stick around. We'll be talking with Mark Warner here in a bit and get his insights on the 9/12 march and with BlogCon put on by FreedomWorks. It's going to be an exciting show, people. Stick around, and we'll be right back after these messages. And welcome back to Gillespie. We are here speaking with Mark Warner. Mark, he's been absent the last couple shows. He may have been present, but he was probably absent-minded. But anyway, he's been working his tail off in D.C. this week, doing stuff. He's been attending BlogCon. He was at the 9/12 march. Mark, tell us, what's been going on in D.C.?
Well, I'll keep the night stuff out of this conversation.
That's probably a good idea.
Because clearly there will be photos on the internet that will be very bad.
Yeah, incriminating type stuff.
Yeah, well, it won't be really incriminating. It'll just be very highly embarrassing. And I'll be like, what was I thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But I have to be pretty proud of myself because I kept you in the loop of everything that was going on.
Well, then I'm certainly proud of you because I should be in the loop of everything that you're doing. But
especially the late night emails. Let's just put it that way.
Yes, yes. Mark was conveniently sending me photos of all the highfalutin celebs that we all know in the blogosphere, Tabitha Hale, Stephen Cruiser. It was kind of nuts and made me jealous at every turn. But so
I still have to tell you, if anybody is ever around Stephen Cruiser, you must go to the Cruiser Cabana. And if you don't, you're a loser.
All right. Well, on to important things, Mark. For real.
That wasn't.
tell us about BlogCon real quick.
BlogCon was put on by FreedomWorks. Let me tell you about FreedomWorks and their staff. Matt Kibbe is the president of FreedomWorks. Of course, it was started by Dick Armey, former representative and majority leader from Texas. And Matt Kibbe hired Tabitha Hale from Smart Girl Politics, Twitter name Pink Elephant Pun, for those of you who should be following her, follow her now. Hired her over a year ago to be their interactive media coordinator. And since then, Tabitha has really put FreedomWorks, I think, in my opinion, on the map. Getting bloggers involved, interacting with Twitter people and everything. And she put on an event this weekend, which Matt Kibbe was so 100% behind, it was called BlogCon, which basically was a FreedomWorks bloggers conference. And they had it for the week and the weekend of the 9/12 rally that was held from the White House to the Capitol Hill. Basically, Thursday night, hold on, sorry. My phone should not be ringing. Sorry.
You're a popular guy, Mark.
Right. So basically, what we did was Thursday night we got in, or Thursday morning, actually. I flew into Baltimore, and we got into Crystal City where the event was held. We had a reception that night. Eric Erickson from Red State, Steven Crowder. If anybody knows Steven Crowder, he is on Fox News a lot. He's a comedian, and he spoke, and he's always a riot. And then Tabitha spoke a little bit, and we all went down to the Crystal City Sports Pub, and the rest is history for that night.
history that can be found on Facebook.
Probably Facebook and some blogs, which I'm not going to mention these blogs online because we just don't need to do that right now. And then we sat around and watched. That was the night of the Vikings. Was that the Vikings Green Bay game, or was
no,
that
the Vikings? No, Green Bay play earlier today. It was Vikings and Saints.
Vikings and Saints game. Yes. And it was interesting to watch a bunch of bloggers hanging out and watching football and doing other stuff.
Well, newest addition to the Hoosier Access family, April Gregory, was out there with you. And yes. If I recall correctly, she was having quite a spirited conversation with one Stephen Cruiser about the future of Brett Favre.
Right, and with Sean Hackbarth.
Oh, dear.
It was interesting. It was funny. I was actually sitting there watching it and cracking up the whole time.
Because we all know Brett just desperately needs to retire. Desperately.
Well, yes.
He's a feeble old man and hobbling on one ankle. He's practically out there in crutches. He needs a walker to get from one end zone to the other. It's pretty ridiculous.
Right, yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so anyway, we had a good time. And the next day we all met down here where we stayed at in Crystal City and spent from 8 a.m. to – or 8:30 a.m. to like 11:30. And John Hawkins from rightwingnews.com spoke.
Tell me real quick. I mean, is this for BlogCon, for people who have never gone to BlogCon – well, was this the first one, or has
the first one?
Okay, what if for someone who wanted to go to BlogCon next year? And again, this is an event put on by FreedomWorks. What do they get to experience out there at a typical BlogCon type convention?
Basically, they bring in the national bloggers who get the 3-4 million hits a day, in the six figures or whatever.
Yeah.
You're
Eric Erickson's, like you talk about John Hawkins.
Right, yeah. Eric Erickson, John Hawkins, and guys like that. Excuse me. And basically, they talk about how to properly get your message out. John Hawkins really spoke about don't try to do the same message everyone else is doing. Find your niche and get on it. You are gonna type some stuff that's gonna be the same as somebody else, but if you find that niche, might be the same message, but in a different way.
Yeah, because a lot of people say, talk about the speaking in an echo chamber, but because you can find a lot of the same things on Allopundit that you'll find on Ace of Spades, that you'll find on Red State, but the delivery is all different and sometimes offering different tidbits, different perceptions of a particular news story. So that's interesting.
Right. So, and so he spoke, Dr. Melissa Clothier and Stephen Cruiser spoke on Twitter and how to properly use Twitter.
Dr. Melissa Clothier, who has been a guest on this show.
Right.
Right.
Say. Yeah, she is great. I talked to her for a long time this weekend throughout all of the mischiefs and Cruiser's Cabana and other places. We got to really get to know each other this weekend and talk about a lot of stuff, and she would like to be back on the show, I know that, but she spoke, her and Cruiser spoke about Twitter, and, she's like, a lot of you that follow me retweet my stuff, and the people that you retweeted it to already follow me. So, that's good and all, but find people that don't follow me and retweet to them and talk, and compare followers. And if you're following the same people, it's really not worth retweeting.
Yeah, because you're seeing the same thing anyway.
Right. So, and then she talked about being, just don't make Twitter a boring place. Make it a fun place, make it, you're a mini blogger and you need to get the message out there, but you also need to have fun with it. Don't be boring.
Exactly. Like, people should make fun of, take part in the whole hashtag Make Fun of Mark Warner Fridays, right?
See, I don't like that hashtag.
You don't. It's pretty popular.
The original user of that. The creator of that hardly uses it anymore.
Well, it's because it's morphed, it's changed. We've had people come up with hate on Mark Warner Friday.
Yeah.
Or you know, there are the variations of that, such as, is Mark Warner serious? The one that I tried, which didn't take off as well as I had hoped, but the Mark Warner in lyrics, I thought it was fun. You know, I pulled a Coolio song. Old Gangster's Paradise, inserted you into it, but it didn't take off.
Yeah, it didn't take off. You failed at that one.
That was a fail. That was a fail.
So we ate lunch at the hotel after all of those people spoke.
Yeah.
And Matt Kibbe, the president of Freedom Works, spoke on Austrian economics. And if anybody ever has a chance to listen to Matt Kibbe speak, this guy is a brain, man. He's a walking brain. I mean, he's just smart. And he talked about the economic policies of Obama and how they're failing this country so bad, which isn't late-breaking news, but he broke it down. And that's what needs to happen.
Did he make his presentation available at all? Was it in a PowerPoint? Would people be able to find this presentation or at all?
I think you should be able to find it on FreedomWorks somewhere. But this guy got up without any paperwork, without a teleprompter, without anything, and just spoke from his heart. And this, I mean, we were sitting there going, oh, my God, where's this guy coming from, you know? And he helped Dick Armey write the book, Give Us Liberty, A Tea Party Manifesto, which I'll get to that in just a second here.
Yeah.
But
we're running out of time, believe it or not, on this segment. So I'm going to have you stick around, Mark, so we can continue talking about BlogCon, get into what Dick Armey's doing with that, and then talk a little bit about the 9/12 march, which you and April Gregory and Hostage Hoosier, Emily Borkholder from Hoosier Access, and Glenn Asbury, one of the newest members also of the Hoosier Access role, all attended. So we'll be right back after these messages. Just stick around. And welcome back to Gillespie. Mark is still with us here. We're recording on Skype, and it appears successfully. Mark is in Washington. He's been attending BlogCon, and he was at the 9/12 march. Mark, you just before we went into break there, you were talking about getting into Dick Armey's latest book. Tell us a little bit about that, and then tell us about the march.
Dick Armey, who's the founder of Freedom Works, and Matt Kibbe, who's the president of Freedom Works, wrote a book called Give Us Liberty, A Tea Party Manifesto. Basically, what it is, it talks about how the Tea Party started, you know.
Well, I have to ask you real quick, just because this has been curious to me. You know, Mark, you and I have been involved in politics for a while. We know the players who have been around for a long time. Dick Armey, as you mentioned before, he was majority leader when the Republicans were in control of the House, and Newt Gingrich and Denny Hassert were speaker. How does a guy who goes from, you know, being leadership in Washington go from being, you know, basically a Tea Party leader? I mean, for most Tea Party types, I would think that he'd be considered an insider, or, you know, someone who wouldn't be trusting just because of, basically, I mean, the Tea Party people don't like people who have been in that kind of position. They like fresh faces. What's the reaction to Dick Armey like that?
You know, people like Dick Armey. You know, what I know about Representative Armey and his voting record, it was solid.
You can have members whose votes are solid, but...
conservatively, it was solid.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, is that you can have conservative members who are solid, but yet sometimes Tea Party members will look at someone who's been there a while with kind of a, you know, sort of wary. Even though their record is good, they're sort of wary just because of how long they've been there. And I know that Representative Armey had been there a while.
Well, and I think what it is Representative Armey is willing to walk in the front lines with these people.
Yeah.
He's willing to call out party members and party leaders and the party itself. He did that today. I mean, he was like, you know, we have called out the Republicans that have done us wrong, and we got rid of some of them during the primaries. He goes, now we need to call out the Democrats and get rid of them. And I, you know, you mean, I don't call out the party. I mean, I just don't. But people like Dick Armey, Mike Pence, guys like that, they're willing to buck the system and buck their party. And they're not afraid to, because they believe in freedom. They believe in less government. They believe in lower taxes. They just don't believe in big spending and programs that help. I mean, it just, it's out of control.
Yeah.
And I think Dick Armey, when he retired, did he retire, Josh?
Yeah, he retired. He did not lose.
Okay, he did retire. So I think when he retired, I think it was one of those things where it was like, I've had it. You know, these people just don't get it. And, you know, I'm going to take this fight to the streets.
Yeah.
And get people fired up. And he did that. And, I mean, he's been a key player in this. We were at their offices the other day, which isn't far from the Hill. I mean, it is a walk, but not that far.
Yeah.
And Dick Armey and both Matt Kinvey were giving away the free books and signing them. And, you know, basically what he said was, I'm tired of the government, and I'm tired of them just doing everything. Now, do they have to vote on stuff that is needed? Yes. But bad economic policies don't save this country.
Yeah.
And I did not know this, but Dick Armey has a PhD in economics.
Really? I didn't know that either.
Yeah. His wife was with him today, and she announced that. She goes, you know, my husband has a PhD in economics. Now, I started laughing at first because it reverted back to Jill Long Thompson. And when she used to stand there and go, I have a PhD.
Yeah. Well, for those who don't know, Jill Long Thompson was an erstwhile candidate. The Democrats ran against Mitch Daniels in 2008. And in the year where Barack Obama is winning Indiana, a solidly red state, with 51% of the vote, the Democrats' candidate, Jill Long Thompson, gets trounced by Mitch Daniels by 19%. Mitch scored 59% in 2008 in a strong Democrat year. And she ran around saying that, you know, I have a master's, or I have a PhD, and that she lived on a farm. But anyway, I digress. You were saying.
And Dick Armey was like, you know, I might have a PhD in economics, but I'm not going to flaunt it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what she did in it. Anyway.
Yeah.
So he spoke, Andrew Breitbart spoke today.
Tell me this real quick. I'm sorry to keep on interrupting you, but has his reputation taken a hit at all since the Shirley Sherrod fiasco?
Not at all.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, people, you know, questioned him and said, dude, come on, you know, you're better than this, blah, 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 blah. But when he spoke today, he had people fired up.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that never came out was it wasn't as if Breitbart, as far as I could tell, Breitbart didn't necessarily create the clip himself. It was just passed on to him kind of what I was gathered. But
yeah, he just didn't do his work behind the scenes. And he moved on. And
yeah, we're all guilty of doing stuff like that.
On it and kept going forward. It wasn't going to let him run it down. And then one of our own Indiana people, Greg Fettig, with the
Are you talking about the 9/12 march today?
Yes.
Okay.
I kind of got off course there because I mentioned that Dick Armey, I found out today, that had a PhD in economics, so I kind of went off course there.
Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, Dick Armey. People like him because he's willing to stand up and speak his mind.
Yeah.
And they follow him, and they just do. You know, I'll be honest. I didn't know Dick Armey that well.
Uh-huh.
But once I met him and talked with him and saw his passion and his drive, it was like, oh, this is Dick Armey. You know, he doesn't talk crazy. He doesn't talk nutty. He just talks facts. And the facts are you're spending too much. You're causing it. I mean, people need jobs out here, and you just keep spending money like it's, you know, growing off a tree in the White House.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
And so Matt Kibbe, Matt is, I mean, I told you he was the president and CEO of FreedomWorks. He actually served as the chief of staff and House Budget Committee assistant for Representative Miller from Florida from 90 to 93. He was also the federal budget policy guy for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Really?
Yeah. And then he did serve as a senior economist for the RNC.
Now tell me the truth. Are you actually just reading this off the flap jacket of the book?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Because I talked to him yesterday, and he said he was this at the chamber, and then he was at the RNC. And I'm like, wow, this guy is RNC chamber, you know, budget guy at the House of Reps, and are you kidding me? But this guy's calling out people left and right. You're gone. You're gone. You're gone. But they support Rubio, so I'm happy with that.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, so Marco Rubio, you know, but, and he actually, yeah. So anyway, we did that, and really great bunch of guys there. They got a great staff, and the staff is fired up, man. They're ready to go. They're young. They're in their 20s and early 30s, and they're a young group.
Now, tell me real quick. Because we're running out of time in this segment here, and we still really haven't gotten into the march, so I'm going to keep you on for a third, and then we're going to focus exclusively on the march. But tell me, how can people get involved in FreedomWorks and what they're doing? And what is FreedomWorks doing to continue to get their message out here, if you can, in about a minute 30?
I would honestly go to FreedomWorks. I think it's freedomworks.org.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me find it on my computer.
Smooth segue, Mark. Smooth.
I didn't want to say freedomworks.com and then mess you up.
That's
it's
right.
freedomworks.org. And I would contact Matt Kibbe or Tabitha Hale and find out how you can get more involved. And find out what you can do. I know they're trying to build statewide coalitions to help get their message out. Hoosier Access was actually a co-sponsor, which I'll talk about that in the next segment. But they really want people to get their message out, and I think you should just contact them through their website and find out how you can help.
Okay. Well, that is freedomworks.org. And we're going to cut off the segment here just a bit short and come back with Mark so that we can get some good insights on the 9/12 march and what the experience was like, what the crowd was like, and a special story that Mark was starting to tell me off the air about an experience with Congressman Mike Pence. We'll be right back after these messages. We are back with Mark Warner. Mark, thanks again for sticking around. I know that you've had a pretty exhausting last couple days in our nation's capital, but today was pretty much the penultimate. You've gone to BlogCon, you've experienced a meeting with a lot of our nation's top bloggers and former elected officials and Dick Armey. But today was kind of the day. It was the 9/12 march. Tell our listeners a little bit about it. What was it like? What did you experience? Who was there?
We actually, a bunch of us left the hotel around 9 o'clock, 9:15, I would say, something like that. Jumped on the metro, which that sucks. We jumped on the metro, went over to the Metro Center and had coffee. It's like 13th and F Streets or something like that. And then we all walked down to 15th and Constitution Avenue, down by the White House.
When you say we, who is we?
Oh, myself, Glenn Asbury, Emily Borkholder, April Gregory, some of Emily's friends from where she lives in here in Virginia somewhere.
Did you meet up with any other Twitter personalities that people may recognize?
Yes, Caleb Howe. I don't know if anybody knows Caleb.
Well, of course people should know Caleb because he has a show here on FTR.
Right. Caleb Howe is there. Ben Howe is there, Caleb's brother. We met up with Chris Crabtree.
The director was of media outreach or just director of outreach?
Director of outreach for Representative Mike Pence. Who else was there that people would know the Twitter name? Philip Keeter. He works for the Media Research Center and Newsbusters.
He does?
Yes. He actually hung out with us for a while. Actually hung out with us the whole time today.
That guy's got some funny tweets.
Yeah, he is. You think he's funny on Twitter? Oh my gosh. In person, he is like twice as funny.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just crazy. And he hung out with us. See, who else was there?
Well, we've talked enough about Twitter personality. So, what, yeah. So you got out there, you got to location. What?
Yeah, we walked from the White House to Capitol Hill. We walked the whole way with Chris Crabtree and a bunch of Indiana people that were there from the Tea Party, the Indiana Tea Party, and Hoosier Patriots, which Greg Fettig, who has written guest post on Hoosier Access, was one of the speakers today at the Tea Party, at the 9/12 rally.
It should be known that Greg is a co-founder of the Hoosier Patriots.
Yes, he is. He is the co-founder. Great guy. Really great guy. I actually saw him yesterday near Chinatown walking around. So we got to Capitol Hill. Chris Crabtree was like over there in the far right-hand corner towards the front of the Capitol. Go over there. Everybody over there is wearing Hoosier Patriots shirt. Just go over there. Mike Pence, when he is done speaking, will come down and meet everybody. And we hung out there. I think Mike spoke at 3. And then Glenn Asbury had to take off because his flight left at, I think, at 8 o'clock tonight from Reagan.
Oh, so he didn't even get to experience the whole thing? Poor Glenn.
No, he didn't get to experience the whole thing. I think he either flew out of Reagan or BWI. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, it was Baltimore he flew out of. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Doesn't matter.
We just hung out there, took photos, Twittered photos.
Who are speakers? Sorry, who did you mention that Dick spoke? Representative Army spoke. Andrew Breitbart. You mentioned Greg Fettig.
Matt Kibbe.
Yeah.
There were some other people. The founder of the Hispanic Tea Party or the Hispanic Coalition for Freedom. The guy became a citizen in 2008. He came over here in the United States and did it right. I mean, he did it correctly.
Yeah.
So he spoke. There were some other people there that I didn't recognize their names. They were from other cities, like the Philadelphia Tea Party and things like that. So there was a lot of them that spoke. And then Representative Mike Pence from Indiana's 6th Congressional District came to the podium and spoke. And I estimated there's probably 50,000 people there. Not the biggest crowd that they had last year, but there was tea parties going on all over the United States.
Yeah.
But that crowd went completely wild. And when I say that, I am not kidding. I mean, he stood up and he just, you know, we've all heard Mike. I mean, he's just. Oh, he's amazing.
He captivates you.
Yeah.
He's very down to earth. He doesn't speak above anybody. He doesn't speak below anybody. He speaks very plainly and very and
and straightforward, though.
Right. He actually just, the crowd just went nuts. And he gave a rousing speech. Honestly, I didn't hear half of what he said because the crowd was just that loud.
Yeah.
But when he did, the things that I did hear was, we need to stop the madness of this. It behind me is where we need to stop this madness. And, it's just who he is. So when he got done speaking, he came down into the Hoosier delegation, and we're all standing there, and a bunch of us bloggers were standing off to the side, and some of the national bloggers were like, we'd like to meet Mike Pence. And Chris Crabtree was telling everybody, if you're not from Indiana, please just stay back, because he wants to speak to Hoosiers. Mm-hmm. That's why he wants to speak to his people that came out here all the way to talk to him and see him and see this thing. Some of the national bloggers were like, we really wanted to see him. We'd like to see him. So I walk up to Chris privately. I'm like, hey, could we, can I get a couple of national bloggers to say hi to him? He goes, yeah. He goes, I'll get your photo too. I'm like, great. He goes, just give me just a second. And Representative Pence walks up and puts his arm on his shoulder and goes, Chris is like, him? He goes, Mark, yeah, who's your access? And he goes, and he's like, Josh. And he looks at Chris and he goes, Josh? Chris is like, yep, Josh. So
that'd be me. So yeah. I want people to know he's actually talking about me, Mike Pence. Right. Somewhere in the back of Mike Pence's mind knows who I am.
Yeah. So he knows us, but we've been around. Yeah. So, it's not like we've interviewed him, and he knows us. So, and then Chris introduced him to everybody else. April got to meet him. Emily's met him before, though, because I think she worked on his, volunteered on his campaign when she went to U of I, and she went out on that stuff. So she's met him before, and his lovely wife, Karen, was with him. I think she goes everywhere with him.
Yeah, well, Mike has his family out there.
Yeah.
Mike has mentioned the importance of having family, even as a representative, of having your family out there. And, some members, some people who campaign think that it can be pretty difficult, because, if you move your family out there, that you'll get castigated for being a DC insider, that you're not you're not connecting with your district because your family's not out in the district. And, that has never, people have asked Mike about that, and that's never been an issue for him. Even with his constituents and his family is, his kids go back to school. In fact, one of his sons is now attending my college alma mater, Purdue University, go Boilers. And, Mike is still very much a part of Indiana, even though he and his family live in D.C.
Right. So we got a picture with him, and a couple of the national bloggers are in there. And I'm not friends with them on Facebook yet, so when I do, I'll tag them, and so they can have it on their Facebook pages as well.
Sure.
But his staff was right there with him. If anybody ever gets a chance to meet Representative Mike Pence, take that opportunity, because he is just, like Josh said, just down to earth. Actually, I think Fingers Malloy did an interview with him at last year's CPAC.
Oh, really?
If I'm not mistaken, I think he did do an interview with him at last year's CPAC. I'd have to ask Fingers about that one, but I believe he did. I think it was at last year's CPAC.
Well, if people actually go to the Hoosier Access video archives, which you can be accessed on HoosierAccess.com, they will see in our very early days a younger me doing an interview with Mike Pence in 2007. And we actually talk about a lot of issues that even are important today. And I even ask about possible presidential aspirations. The audio sucks, because we didn't have any fancy stuff that we do today, but it's worth checking out.
And also, he recently wrote an exclusive op-ed for Hoosier Access. Was that a week?
That was just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he actually wrote an exclusive op-ed for us. So, yeah. So the rally, we left about, I don't know, like 4 o'clock. Maybe it was before, like maybe it was 3:30, something like that, 3:30, quarter to 4.
Yeah.
A bunch of us walked over to Keeter's place, which he only lives like 5 or 6 blocks from the Capitol. So we walked over to his place and then jumped on the metro and went to Chinatown and ate at Chipotle. And then we went to Capital City Brewing Company. Josh, you know that place?
I do. It's a wonderful place.
So we went there. A bunch of us went there afterwards, and then I came back here, and I'm doing this interview.
That's been an exciting couple of days.
Yeah, it has been. I would just, you know, Freedom Works and Tabitha Hale totally rock my world. They invited us out here. You know, when she tweeted about it, I tweeted back. I said, "What's this all about?" And she goes, "I'm getting ready to send. I'm actually working on an email to send to you anyway. So just give me a few minutes." And then in that email was basically was, "We would like to invite you to come out to this thing." And then a couple weeks ago or a week ago, she asked us to be co-sponsors of this 9/12 rally. Hoosier Access was actually a co-sponsor today. Of the
We're out there, people.
Yes,
we are out there. Well,
So it was a great time. I got to spend a few minutes with Eric Erickson this weekend with Red State.
We've actually run out of time for the end of the show. For our next show, Mark, which I hope you're able to attend the taping. Mark's schedule is very busy, if you cannot tell. Because that next weekend we'll be gearing up to going out to the Smart Girl Summit, also in Washington.
6 days.
That's right. Oh, can't come fast enough. But anyway, Mark, I would love for you to continue talking about your experiences out there in our next show, talk about your conversations with Eric Erickson. But I want people to stick around and listen for an excellent night here on FTR Radio, following immediately after Gillespie is the Aaron Proctor Show, followed by Duke Over America, the Smart Girl Report with Jenny Erickson, and then the Armchair Energist. Mark, thanks again for calling in from D.C., and I hope that everybody else has a great night, and stay tuned for Aaron Proctor.